Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Morning. I love that song, I've Decided to Follow. When I met, I don't know, some of us may not go through that way of treatment when you become a Christian. But I remember when I became a Christian, and that song came into my heart, and I came back and I told my dad, I'm a Christian, and he said, get out. Yes, my dad's a Freemason. And my father didn't like the name Jesus. And suddenly I sat there for a while. I thought when you become a Christian, the whole world dances with you. I thought the whole world is going to kneel down and say, wow, you're good. My father said, you get out of my life. You get out of this family. So seeing that song and just knowing the history of it, it resonates deep into my core. Eh? And I feel that a lot of us today need to really know that song and sing it with meaning in your heart. There'll come a day when that song will be the test of your day. The song will be tested in your faith. I have decided to follow. Today we follow flippantly. Frivolously we follow things. We don't really know the impact of following something. It's not only words, action, but life. Amen? And I think it's good to always have this up, knowing the history of the songs we sing. Amen? Thanks for that, Pastor Calvin. It was really good. This morning, I want to speak on this little portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 11. If you don't know where chapter 11 is, in between 10 and 12. Hey, these are deep things I learned in Bible school. To discover where it is, it's Matthew chapter 11, in between chapter 10 and chapter 12. Have you found it? Have I given you clear instructions? Good, you can, better than GPS. Huh? Let's together read. He said, come to me. Who is speaking these words? Jesus. The very mouth, the very oracle of Jesus. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. And I, Jesus, will give you rest. Take my yoke, Jesus' yoke, upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Someone said, this is the most beautiful message for all humanity. This is the second most powerful invitation God gave us. The first one was, come to me to be saved. Now he said, come to me, take your rest. God makes so powerful this personal invite. You know, I had a wedding invite, and I told the mother, can you just send me the invite? She said, no, Pastor Miso, I want my daughter to personally invite you, go to the house. I said, but why? Then I realized the personal invite has a lot of meaning behind of it. And Jesus personally sits down and say, come, come, come to me. Come to me. You know, we always, often not when we come to church at the door, we wish somebody and we say, how are you going, Matt? Have you had a good day? How's things with you? We always touch the superficial. But have you ever asked somebody, how's your soul today? God is not interested in the materials. He's not interested in the tangibles. He's looking at the intangible. Have you ever asked somebody, how's your soul? How is your soul? I want to major... Oh, sorry. I got to start practicing this. I bought this for buying, but every time I use it, I get angry with the shop man. But when I bring it back to the shop, he says it works. Something is wrong with you. Maybe this morning I want to talk about your soul tank. Hey, we all drive a car, isn't it? We all drive a car. And on that dashboard, there's hot and cold and empty and fill. Besides the speedometer. I don't look at the speedometer. Because I remember when I was in Germany, they don't look at speedometers. As fast as your car can go, just press until it comes through. But you know, each car has this. And Anne, especially Anne, when she drives, when the tank become just past half, I better go and put petrol. I said, why? You still can go. The other day, quarter. No, I early morning, I have to get up. I said, why? I've got to go and put petrol. I said, the tank is still. For me, even if the light come on, I said, we still can go. Don't worry. Serious. Honestly, maybe it's a man thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a man thing. And I said, why are you making it? It's enough of petrol. I can go to airport. I can come back and have coffee. We laugh. Huh? But actually, truly, when the light comes, I'm a bit more cautious. I keep more my eye on it because I know it's an indicator it needs topping up. What if our life had a dashboard and God put your soul tank there? What is the reading this morning? What is the reading this morning you came? Where is that arrow pointing? Fill half, three quarters, empty. Maybe your soul is empty this morning. What songs we sang has yet to penetrate that layer of superficial and get into your soul. What is your soul? You know, I want to spend a few moments. We talk about life. We talk about the spirit. We do not ever talk about the soul of man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God created man, he breathed life into us and we became a living soul. We talk about the spiritual aspect. Good. It's good to be spiritual. We talk about the superficial. Look good. Come to church. Do your time. Good. But what about the soul? Do you know your soul never dies? Your body dies. If that is an important thing, maybe it's about time we sit and look at the soul. What is the soul? Some people, some theologians, some Bible school scholars, some learned people had their spin on the soul, and they say the soul and the spirit is together. Let me this morning put this case before you that that's a lie, that we are triparty. Body, soul, and spirit. The heathens, the different religions, spend a lot of time about their soul. Soul. I like soul music, you know. My favorite music, I said, soul music. I like, because something inside me starts to work up, you know. Hallelujah. The movement come, the preaching come. But it's soul. What is the soul? Let us take a few moments and look at this. Soul of man. The soul. I'm not talking about animals. I'm talking your soul. The soul of man. The human soul is created by God. God is the soul creator, S-O-L-E, and the soul, S-O-U-L, creator of your soul. Only He gave us a soul. If God created that soul, that means it has some value and some purpose. God never creates things of no value. For that matter, you are so valuable. Don't devalue yourself. God creates. The soul is created by God. And if God created my soul, then I, as the owner of the soul, need to take care of it. Amen? Your soul. While you're sitting down now, I know a lot of you are thinking, what's going on with my soul? George MacDonald said this beautiful, and even C.S. Lewis said, he said, you don't have a soul. You are a soul with a body. Not a body with a soul, but you are a soul with the body. Because the soul is more important than the body. A soul man. Hallelujah. I didn't bring my wig. If I put my Afro wig, probably. We are soul. We are soul, friend. We are a soul. God gave a living soul inside of us. It's living. It's breathing. That's why Jesus said, your soul needs to be cared. We have not taken care of our soul. We are running on steam of the flesh. But the soul, that little strong man with inner man, is crying out, I'm drying up. I'm running empty. Do something. Crying out to you, I need help. My soul. We are soul. Hallelujah. Think about this. The human soul is distinctively different from the heart. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Three different things. There are distinctive differences that he says there. I put all the verses that I could go through. I was so excited I've gone through, because I have never, honestly, in all my years, ever through a Christian journey, ever majored on my own soul. I've always looked at the spiritual part. Man, I went to Bible school. I got blessed by the Holy Spirit. Wow, I got called. Wow, I'm so good. And I tried to look good. I cut my hair nice and short. I trimmed my beard this morning. But I never, you know what made me go? The last couple of months, I have been going through almost the doctor clinically diagnosed as depression. He says, you're troubled. Something's wrong. Or the doctor said, maybe your God wants... Listen, the doctor is a Muslim. He said, maybe you're a pastor. Your God wants to talk to you. In front of her, in the clinic. He said, what did he say to you? Is he giving you any messages? Serious, the doctor. Because in October last year, one night I had a panic attack. I was going to die. And from that day, every night I couldn't sleep. The doctor gave me medication to sleep. The doctor said this, and it didn't work. It made it worse. A couple of, I think a month ago, I was sitting there and I read this verse. And suddenly it dawned on me. My soul was troubled. Didn't David cry out? Oh, my soul, why are you down? Why are you downcast? Why are you so despondent? Why are you disappointed? And then I search my soul, and God has been good. I rest. I sleep well every night. And I knew, friend, that as much as I walked with God, somewhere in me, my soul was restless. My soul was hurt. My soul got bruised. My soul was grieving. And as a result, that grief affected my body, affected my whole thinking. But I became no longer the I that I knew myself. And that's why many people are being diagnosed by depression, wrongly diagnosed, and given medication that actually makes them depressed. Think about it. Even my doctor is a Muslim, recognized. He said, God talking. He said, maybe God wants you to get up every night. And true to his word, God was causing me to be restless because my tank was empty. He said, you can't go on anymore. I have to pull the plug because I care for your soul. You know, friends, you're sitting here this morning. Maybe you're struggling in your soul, you know. That's why you're responding differently. That's why you're reacting to your family, your loved ones, to yourself. That's why you're deep in thought and you're given up on yourself. Because you know why? Your soul is crying out. David, a man who was after the heart of God, a man of spiritual highness, yet had a soul problem. And he cried, who are we? Look at your soul, friend. Go back and check. Spend time. I would wake up at night when I can't sleep and I sit down and I say, God, speak to my soul. Speak to my soul, Lord. Speak to my soul. I never have problem with sleeping. I can sleep late and wake up early. I can go to bed at 2. I can wake up at 6. No problem. But my soul was going down. And maybe you sit here today, your joy of your salvation is no longer excited because your soul is troubled. Maybe you don't read your word anymore and your soul is troubled, friend. But he says soul is different. This morning, I only want to major on the soul of man, not on the spirit, because I know we know our soul can also be unsteady. It can get lost. Think about it. Go back. I spent time looking at the verses. Go back and grapple with it. I did my own study because I was concerned of my soul. I don't want to go. I don't want to lose my soul, friend. And I did it and I looked through. I can lose my soul. My soul can go through unsteadiness. You know why? You know, when you're not eating well or you don't eat much nutrients, you can become, when you walk, you feel you're not balanced, right? You feel dizzy and you want to fall. Can you imagine your soul? Your soul. What is your soul this morning? What's the reading of your soul? I have given a lot of concern now. You know why? I tell you honestly, I am safe. I have the Holy Spirit with me. Amen? I am beyond any doubt. God is, but physically, I got good health. Though this week, my medical report wasn't good. The doctor gave me a good... He said, you're going on holiday, Chinese New Year? Be careful. I said, I'm always careful. Come on. But it's just that my wife asked me to eat. I have to eat. But you know, I can take care of my physical body. You know why? I can see if my body is going weak. Or so. I can see. But I can't see my soul. I can't see my soul. But you know what I know? If I keep my heart with God, God will reveal to me your soul is crying out. The soul needs to be cared for. Would you care for your soul? Would you make it a point? Say, God, over this week, this month, I want to do a soul searching. Do you know the Bible says Jesus is the shepherd of our souls? Have you heard that? Have you sang that song, Jesus, the lover of my soul? He loves your soul. What's your soul this morning? You can sing all the songs. You can do all the animations. You can go through the rigmarole and the routine, but your soul is crying. You know, I found that answer to my own struggle. I'm a person that never goes through depression. I'm the easiest going. I'm the happiest. Any situation, I can make a joke, even out of your problem. But the last couple of months from October, I just lost the plot. I was almost losing. I was getting frustrated with myself. Why can't I? And when I go to bed, my mind says, don't sleep, you die. This is what it goes through me. Don't close your eye, you die. Because I had a panic attack in October. And so I dare not close my eye. Because I don't want... How many of you want to die? I mean, I have to, but if can, stretch a bit. Huh? I'm still young. I'm only 45 and I still got another 20. But, you know, this word keep resonating in my head. You close your eye, you die. You won't wake up tomorrow. And every night... I wake up, I can't sleep, I walk, I go, I become restless until I brought my soul to its resting place at the feet of Jesus. What is your soul? What situation is your soul now? If God would walk by your aisles and looked at you, what would He see of your soul reading? If He looked at the dashboard of your life, what is the reading of your soul? Think about it. It's a good time to do a search. This is early February. We're still a new year. Amen? All right. Let's continue. The human soul needs atonement. The human soul needs for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. The atonement is not only for our body, it's for your soul. The body goes back to the ground from dust to dust, ash to ash, of no value. You know, when my mother died and I went to collect the ash, and they gave me one small jar. And I looked and said, come off it, my mom is dead, not that small. My mother that small. My mother is Portuguese, man. Portuguese so small. Then I realized, the value of the body is reduced to nothing. The value of the soul required the atonement, the sprinkling of blood, because the soul has value. Amen. Hey, you're a valuable soul, you know? That's why I work with, that's why I have a heart for people who are on the street, because they don't realize I'm not concerned about their body. I'm concerned about the destiny of their soul. Where is that soul going to? There or there? Or nowhere? Where? When I always work with drug addicts, I don't care. You can still smoke. I work on your soul. When the soul is touched, the man, the heart of man will change. Because the man cannot understand the spiritual things until his soul is right. He can come to church, you can pray for him, he will not change because his soul is empty, friend. What's your soul? You know, I tell you, maybe you've been losing your cool this week. Maybe the ones you love, you've been hurting and you wonder why. Maybe you say things and you begin to reflect, I should not have said it, man. I don't know why. I'm sorry. But more than the sorry, the signals are telling you, your soul is disturbed. Your soul is disturbed. Think about it. Think about your soul, because it also requires atonement. Then it also needs to be purified and protected by truth and the work. The soul needs a... Let me give you a diagram. This is a lot of scholars. I'm not a scholar. I think sometimes, but I read a bit of scholasticism on the Holy Spirit and the formation of body. And out of all that scholastic reading and study, there's a stream that flows. Most people say that the external is the body. The right at the inner depth is our spirit. In between body and spirit is the soul. It touch base with the flesh. It touch base with the spirit. It is the connector of us. For when your body is unhealthy, you don't take care, it affects your body, right? You can see. Likewise, when you don't take care of your soul, it affects your spiritual life as well as your physical life. I'm not a scholar, but sometimes I like to read their scholastic things, because then I can talk to people who are scholastic. And then they think, this Pastor Miso is very scholastic. No, I want to read. Somebody said this. The outer circle, our body shown, is actually our sight, all the five senses, sight, smell, hear, taste, touch. That's our external. Hey, let me tell you, you lose taste, you miss out all the good food, you know. Yes, I have a friend who was going through this. He needed prayer. He was losing, remember, he was losing taste of the food. And I would always say, today's food tastes nice. And he said, Pastor Miso, I can't taste. I said, that's the reason I'm saying. It tastes nice. You lose, that's your outer taste. Then it says, the gate to your soul is this, your imagination, your conscience, your memory, your reasoning, your affection. When you say things to people and you hurt, you feel sad. You affected the affection of it. The people you love, you hurt God. Then it says about the spirit. It's a very good illustration, because if you expand on it later on, he said the spirit receives impressions of outward and material things through the soul. The spiritual faculties of the Holy Spirit is this. It's faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and most of all, worship. You worship the living God. You cannot worship God with lips. You worship God with spirit. That's what John said. There's a time coming when the Lord is looking for true worshipers who will worship in spirit. He didn't say mouth. In spirit. Because spirit means this. You don't know what is coming. He just speaks what it wants. Amen? That's what speaking in tongues is. You don't know. You don't want to articulate. But the spirit in its own way articulates and utter through you. That's your spirit and your soul. So watch your soul. You get angry with people. You say things you regret. Because your soul is troubled. Your soul is grieving. Your soul is grieving. And Jesus, the shepherd of our souls, the lover, he knows our condition. That's why he says, come to me. Just come. I'll give you rest, not for your body. You know how to find rest physically. Some of you are sleeping beauties. Some of you wake up and then you say, I'm tired. And go back to sleep and I say, I'm tired still. But the soul is one area that needs rest. I used to sleep at night. I'm sleeping, but my mind is still talking. And I have this problem. Sometimes I scold my mind. Then I think I'm unsound to scold my own mind. Eh? It's not the mind. It's the soul is restless. This morning, like the other day, I had some issue with someone. I was trying to help this person to drive. Then you get the mother getting involved and trying to teach me how to help the son. And then she said, this is my son. I should know. Then I said, why do you come and call me? If you know, why you call me? Why do you call me to help the son? And you go, and I'm helping you butt in. Every time I say something, she's, and I said, please leave me alone. I said, I can do. And I said, how can you, pastor, you talk like that? You must be very nice. I said, I talk like that because it's wrong. I'm trying to get through. You're so tick, 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 tick up there. And then I came back at night. It really disturbed me. One, I didn't want to hurt the mother because I can feel a mother's cry seeing her son on drugs. I know the plight of a mother. I know my own mother, when my brother was on drugs, she kneeled down nighttime and prayed for him. I know, but yet I know the cry of the drug addict. But you know, sometimes you say it and then it affects you. And I went back at night and it disturbed me the whole night. Until, you know, that's where we need to. Unless I went to the mom and told her, I said, I'm sorry I scolded you. I said, I love your son and I love you. I said, if I didn't care, I'd just pick up myself and walk away. I said, but I did it because I care. It's not that I don't care for you. He said, it troubled me the whole night, I said. Because of your plight, I got troubled, you know. And I can't sleep. Wow, I don't want these other things. And then I realized sometimes our soul are grieved and we don't know how to debrief. And we don't know how to go and say, I'm sorry. And we keep that. And we keep that. And we add on it. And our soul becomes heavy and heavy and heavy. Let me tell you honestly, we know it takes a special breed and a special calling to work with street people on the street and drug addicts. Pastor Calvin, no. Sometimes they know how to push the right buttons and the wrong buttons. Sometimes I always say, God, just give me 5 minutes excuse for my Christian faith and give me one stick and I'll send this guy to heaven. Because they really take the soul and the life out of you. Really, friend. I worked 28 years in that line. My soul went wandering for the years. But you know, then I realized our soul gets grieved easily. The Holy Spirit, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you commit blasphemy. And we are mindful. But the soul, we don't know that we are grieving our soul. What is the soul reading of you? What is your tank now? I hope it's moving up. I hope it's moving up, friend. I hope when you leave that door, when you leave out there, and you leave your shadow here and you go out, I pray your tank reads higher. Because that's the intent of it, right? I want to major on this. Now I go to the sermon proper. That was introduction. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now you understand where I'm coming? He says, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. I like that invite. Come to me. You know, the soul has a propensity to go somewhere when we sin. We always have a propensity to run somewhere, not there. And that's why Jesus said, come to me. If you are, come to me, not to anyone else. Don't go and look for the alternative. Don't go and look for don't look for everything. Come to me first. I'll lead you there. The sad thing is we look for everything and then lastly we go to God. Come to me. I will channel you. I will tell you. I will lead you. I'm your shepherd. I lead. He says, come. You know, when Jesus says, come, he's not telling you, come here, Malcolm, and I'm going to give you a good bawling. I'm going to give you a tongue lashing. I'm going to give you a 7-step program. Hallelujah, you get healed. Nothing. He just said, come. Come. Come as you are. Bring the Lord. Park it next to me. Just come. Come. I invite you with open arms. I'm not inviting you as the Lord. I'm not inviting you as a teacher. I'm just saying, come. I love you. You know, like kids when they're young and they do wrong, they want to run away from the parents. We were built with it. We tried to avoid. And then my father called, oh, what went wrong? But even though, when the father, in spite of the wrong, opens his arms and takes the kid in, it's such a powerful message of love. He said, come. Just come to me. Don't go anywhere. Don't run around like a headless chicken. don't run around in circles because I, God, invite you. Come. You know, daily wake up with this invite in your heart. Jesus, I come to you for this day. I'm going to come to you, Lord. I don't know what the day beholds. I don't know what is lurking around the next corner. I don't know what is ahead. But you know what, God? I'm going to come to you and journey with you. And if you be with me and I be with you, surely nothing can go wrong. Come. I don't know where you are, but when your petrol tank shows empty, the petrol station on the road says, come, 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 come. 92, $1.19. Come. Automatically, the magnet, you go. Petrol, you don't go and put water. Then you don't ask people, what should I do? I might, hey, hello, just go and pump the petrol. Just go and pump it. You don't have to go to uni to know, should I pump or should I not? The only thing you don't know is how much I have. Should I put full tank or half tank? But come. Jesus is saying, I am your refill. Come. The come is not a one time. It is a continuous daily happening. Come to me. You don't put petrol one from the day you buy the car till you sell it. Nobody buys that car. Every time when you overuse that car, you pump petrol twice, maybe a day or twice a week. But if you use it less, maybe once a week. But you still need to pump, refill, re-energize, refresh, renew, revitalize. God said, come. Come to me. I hope this morning you came with that heart to church. Lord, I'm coming. Not because I have to do the duties, Lord. Not because I'm a Christian also, Lord. I come because I need you. That should be our attitude of coming to God. I love you, Lord, and I need you. I cannot spend the day or a week without being with you. I come. And Jesus offers that personal invite to all of us whose heart is troubled. We're going through life's difficult path. You know, we all go through mountains and valleys, and sometimes we go plateau for a long time. He says, in whatever stage of your spiritual life, come. Come to me. I got saved and I was in the lowest of my life, and I still need Jesus. As much as I'm sometimes low in my spirit, I may not be low because I'm saved, I'm there, but I can go low in my spirit and my soul, and I need you, Jesus. How many of you eat once a week? Huh? One problem I have with a doctor now is I'm eating too much. He said, and I said, look at me, how hands, look at my muscles, look at my body shape, V and all. What? He said, but he says you are eat, and you know I cannot live one day without eating rice, and that's the biggest one, carbo. And I said, why did God bring rice then? Take away rice. Then I eat bread. He said bread got carbo, rice got carbo, bread got carbo. What to eat now? He said eat vegetable. I said I don't like to be a vegan. But you know, what I'm trying is God is saying, come, I will feed you, I'll fill you according to your need. What is your need? Each one of us going before God, God meets our needs. He doesn't have a standard of all. Isn't it wonderful to have a God like that? He treats us individual, respects our individuality, and he knows our individual need. I'll give it to you. The only problem with us is we start comparing. How much did God give you today? Full tank. Hey, he gave me only 3/4. God, don't do this. Don't compare. God gave. But come. Come to God. Daily. Daily go to God, friend. Even as you start your busy day. I even teach her how to pray. This is my personal prayer. I go to shower. I shower every day, you know, twice. Whenever the water come on me, I thought that I said every day. Listen, every day. I say, God, just as this water touches this carnal body and refreshes, may the Spirit of the living God touch the spiritual being within me and refresh me, Lord. Heal me of my sicknesses. Heal me of the desires that are not right. I spend under, and I pray for my wife and my kids under the shower. I don't waste the shower whistling and singing. I sing sometimes, but then I wait for my kids to go out, then I sing. Otherwise, the commentaries will go on. But you know, friend, I always thank God. Because you know why, friend? We constantly need to come before God. Don't wait. Some people say, at the end of the day, I like start the day and end the day with a prayer. Amen? He says, come unto me. Come. Come because it's an invite. Come because you need. Come to me and I will fill your tank. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, we are not agricultural people. Maybe those from Ipoh, Penang, KL. You know what is a yoke. Singaporeans don't know what is a yoke. They think the egg yolk. Do you know in the days of old in Israel, the yoke was handcrafted, no machines, handcrafted to the specific neck of the bullock or the to his specific neck. You can't put one loose yoke. And Jesus is saying this, you are yoked wrongly, and that's why your life is trouble. And he said, come to me. In yoking, there's a whole mentality of, I surrender. The yoke takes the bullock. He doesn't move. The bullock goes according to what the farmer wants to do. It's like an act of, Lord, I surrender to you, Lord. I tried helping my soul. I've gone to this. I went to this. I've done yoga. I go to the gym. I pump. I've done everything. He said, but come to me. I give you my yoke. Specifically crafted for you. Today, there's a lot of people paying money for gym. I'm not against the gym. My kids sleep in the gym. I'm not against it. But people, the whole concept is they have gone to this thinking the alternative is the answer to their needs in life. It's a temporal answer. Jesus is the permanent answer. He talks of surrender. Secondly, the yoke is this. They put two bullocks together at a distance and they work in rhythm. Working in rhythm. Maybe your life is going down. You're not enjoying your ministry. You're not enjoying because you're not walking in rhythm with God. There's friction. There's tensions. To do ministry, we need to be in rhythm with God. Rhythm. I don't play music a lot, but when somebody plays out of rhythm, it disrupts the musicians. Especially musicians, they're very temperamental. Little bit, I went to a conference, 450 pastors, big time pastors singing in tongues. Hallelujah. I also felt like I'm in heaven now. And then the musician, the lead guitarist, if I mention his name, you all know he's been popular, but plays the guitar, he looked at the keyboardist once. And I'm looking at this guy, I said, why he look at the keyboardist? Is he in love with the guy or what? After the third look, he took the guitar, he just, and he came down and sat down. You know why? Because that guy was out of it. As far as I'm concerned, it was okay. To me, it was heavenly music. But this guy thought something was, I don't know. So I asked the senior pastor, I said, why did he do that? He said, this guy is very sensitive. I said, sensitive to what? The Holy Spirit? Or to the devil? Just walk down like that. People are worshipping. You know why? He couldn't handle something that was not in rhythm. Maybe we took that on the positive and put that in our life. If I'm not in rhythm with God, I got to go and do something. I brush up, change up, do something. Walking. A lot of us are suffering in walking this Christian life because we are not walking in rhythm. There is no rhythm. We want to outsmart. We want to challenge. Just walk in rhythm with who? With He who calls you. Walk with Him. Amen? A lot of time our soul is disturbed because the rhythm is disturbed. You know, I have a good friend, a passed away, David Wilkerson. Many of you know. I used to literally almost like adore him. And he always told me, I said, you know, David, sometimes in ministry, especially drug ministry, one day can be good, next 10 days can be so bad. And one day he told me, he said, Miso, listen to me. He said, stop complaining, stop lamenting. He said, get your rhythm right with God. And I said, me? He said, not me, I'm not the problem. Hey, what you say me? I'm good, hallelujah, every morning. He said, listen, and this is a power. And he said, if you get your heart in rhythm with what God called you to do, all these sideshows won't affect you. And I thought, I survived 28 years of man, the drama in the drug world, Hollywood can make millions of dollars. But rhythm. Then I realized God called me to this ministry. I am to follow Him. Not to let the side shows distract me, not to let the side dramas cause me to be detracted or detoured. Walk in rhythm. And maybe your life or your tank is empty because your rhythm is out. You get angry with your loved ones. You get angry with your friends. Suddenly you blare out or you shout out and you wonder why. The rhythm is disrupted. And Jesus said, come, let me give you the yoke that will bring you back to rhythm. Amen? I love rhythm. I love ministry. You got to get hurt. If you don't get hurt in ministry, you are not in ministry. Honestly, there are people born to hurt you. There are people who wake up in the morning with an intent to hurt you. Serious, I'm not joking. There are people who cross your life and just want to trip you down. I wish if everybody saw me. No, but the world is such. The only way I won't be tripped is if I allow God to yoke me and I walk in His rhythm. Nobody will trip me. Ministry. The other day I sent a little graphic. Sometimes pastors get stepped in the back. We always get stepped in the back. Huh? In the front, people say, hallelujah. Oh, you're so nice. Oh, Pastor Miso, you're so handsome. At the back, he talk nonsense. He think, at the back, you hear different thing. Serious. I always tell people, why? Why don't turn the story the other way? Eh? The bad you talk at the back, the good you talk in front. There are people. But you know, I wanted to keep my rhythm because I believe Paul told me in this word, he always said, walk worthy of your calling. And how can I walk worthy? Except I walk in rhythm with God. Hard. Ministry is hard. That's why today there's a drop. A lot of people coming into ministry for wrong reasons. As a job, as a position, as a career. The day I went in, and I think Pastor Calvin and that era, is because we gave our lives to God to serve Him. It's not the attractions, it's not the remunerations, but just to serve God. Friend, put your life in rhythm. If we are all in rhythm, can you imagine the music we bring to heaven? Can you imagine if we are in rhythm, how much of glory we bring to God? The glory will be so good for Him to know my people are in rhythm with me. Hallelujah. My heart was not in rhythm. My soul was disturbed. And for months I suffered. I could not sleep. The day I saw and I said, Lord spoke to me. He said, bring it back to me. You don't control your soul. I control your soul. Walk in rhythm. Amen? This is our 10th year celebration. I tell you, in all our struggles, we came this far. Can you imagine if we walk in rhythm, how much more would we be? Each one did what he was called. Each one did the fullest to his call. This church, this place cannot contain us. Amen? You believe that? Believe that with all your heart, friend. Because we serve a big God. I don't care about big numbers in church, but I care about a big God with a big faith, with a big vision, with a big purpose, with a big plan for His glory. Not ours. Amen. That's just the mid part of it, but we'll go on. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You know, I only wrote what came to my heart. So actually, I just put the thoughts. I got points here. I like this. You know why Jesus said, come to me? He said, can you imagine I am lowly or gentle? I'm gentle. You know, I don't know about you, but some of us walk about every day with this fear, looking up at heaven. We think God is looking at me. What is He doing? Where is He going? I'm going to whip this guy, man. We have that self-consciousness that we are not good enough and God is not going to help me. God will only acknowledge and recognize me when I do something big or wrong. But you fail to realize the eye of the Lord searches. The only thing God is looking is for the righteousness of your heart. He's a gentle God. Can you imagine a gentle God? Though we think of God as a man, because we read some part, the fiery, the wrath of God. So, wow, frightened. You got a cane. But He's a gentle God. You know, your kid, when he does something, you know, and he goes to you, and if you exercise gentleness, your respect has gone up. But if you respect, if he goes to you and you, blah, 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 he treats you like all other person, just as how the world will do that to me. I like this part. He says, lowly in heart. Listen, when you term lowly in heart, doesn't mean he treats you low. That he's willing to take his heart as low as possible to come to you. I'll go down. I'll go as low as the elevator of life can take me. I'll go down to you. He takes the lowest. Man, he came from heaven to save us. He'll take the elevator of life to come to the lowest part, to walk through the corridors of your life and say, man, I come here to give you rest. He'll go through the corridors of your life, looking at every aspect, every room. He says, I'm gentle. Come, help me. Let me help you clear the clutter. Let me help you stack it up. Let me help you bring together your life. I'll come as low. There is no other God that is taught in all the religions of the world that will do that. I studied religions and I said, no religion or his deity will do that. You do for the deity. It's only our God who will descend at the lowest to meet you, to lift you up. Isn't it good? Don't ever give up your faith, friend. Don't ever give up. You'll never find another faith like this. He came in lowliness of heart. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, I'm so low, God doesn't care. Man, he came for the low ones. Someone said this question, how low can you go that God cannot reach you? How low? Hell. He went to hell. Not in a bad sense, but in a good sense. He's been to hell. How many of you been to hell? I hope you don't go there. I hope you don't buy your ticket for hell. Make sure you validate your ticket for heaven every day. He went so low. The vilest of vile, he came. The sinner of sinners, that low. He come to your heart. He said, lowly. Lastly, I want to close with this one. This one sums it all up, friend. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Wow. The word burden, the connotation is heavy, but he said, my burden is light. That means there are light burdens and heavy burdens. One day, I was in Teen Challenger. Then I saw this big thing here. Hey, somebody delivered a big thing. And the residents came to me and said, hey, Amokya, the postman sent this. They call me, Amokya, call me, white guy, the postman sent this for. He said, so big, why the postman put here? Can you move it? And I said, why don't you move? He said, so big. So I went. So actually, I also want to show off. It's big, okay, like they call me. I'll do. When I carried it, styrofoam. So light. But I pretended, oh, heavy. Then I walked slowly. And I put down, and one of the guys came, he banged. He said, hey, Pastor, so light. I said, yeah. Then I realized, sometimes it's not the size and the shape. It looked big. To your eye, your burden looks big. He said, no, I give you mine. Mine is light. It won't bend your knees. It won't take a sweat out of your heart. My burden. You know why God gives us burden? We could never live a life burden-free. We have the tendency then to take on the things of the world. So he said, remove the heart, but I'll still give you burden, but mine. And you know what is the burdens God wants to give you? That you will love him, that you will serve him, that you will continue to live your life for him, that you make your life now take on this upon you, to love the Lord, to serve God, to live for God, to do the things of God. That now becomes the burden of your heart. Not the other to try to prove I'm good. Not to earn. No, you are good. Amen. Somebody said, God is good not because we are good. God is good because he's so good. Isn't that wonderful? He is so good. When I had issues with my dad when I became a Christian, years I prayed. I don't know about you, but I pray years for my dad. I write letters. I love writing, Not that I like writing, but I just wrote to him, sent him cards, just to say I love you. Maybe sometime we need to write to the Lord and say, Lord, I love you, Lord. Don't write on piece of paper. Write on the walls of your life. I love you, Lord. You know, on Facebook, they say paste on the wall, Yeah, the wall. So why don't we paste on our soul? Lord, I love you. Lord, give me the task for tomorrow. Lord, let me talk to this person. His burden become burdens that are enjoyable. If you serve God and you're complaining, don't serve. Please don't serve, friend. Because you bring judgment on your life. Colossians 3:17-21 says, in all that we do it heartily as if unto the Lord. Heartily. What is heartily? Happy or excited. Not ask me to do every time, put the chest every day. Please don't do. Don't ever do. You bring judgment on your life. You really bring judgment. But heartily, God, to put your chest. I'd be so happy. I can put a chair for Jesus this morning. If only our ministers and our servants of the Lord go back to this basic requirement. I tell you, we can work in harmony. Harmony is broken because of this. We start comparing and complaining. Why I? Let me tell you, in my church, the church I left, there was a guy who I asked him to do ushering. Listen, I said, amen. Since you don't do anything in church, can you do usher? He told me, Pastor Miso, I got 2 degrees, you know. So I said, what has that got to do? I also got degrees. Sometimes I get high fever, sometimes low fever. Because he got 2 degrees, he don't want to stand at the door. 2 degrees. I also got degree. Sometimes high, sometimes so high. Sometimes don't have, go already. But then I thought, to serve God, you don't need paper qualification. I don't know about you, but I love to do for my wife and kids. Hey, let me tell you, I wash all my kids' clothes. I iron. I fold. I place in their cupboard. Even socks, underwear, all I iron. I'm a fanatic in iron. I hold the iron, be careful. Anything in my hand, you say, oh, everything, tablecloth, oh, I do it because I don't have to do. Not because I'm retired. I do it because I love to see my kids go. Every time when I see them go, I feel so, that's my kids. Can you imagine when you do things for God? God looks at you and says, I'm so proud of my son and my daughter. I do that for you. Now I'm going away. They're asking, Daddy, how? Who's going to wash? Serious. Honestly, I'm going away for 3 weeks. Daddy, what to do? So I told them what. I said, if you can't just leave it, I'll come back and iron for you. I'm not spoiling my kids, you know. As long as my kids are with me, I'll love it and do. The day will come, they go. And I hope they do it for their wives and kids. But I do for my kids. I love my kids. I'll do anything. And likewise, I work with druggies. Actually, I have the best of my friends, Pastor, is drug recovering addicts. Because they appreciate. Sometimes as Christians, we don't appreciate this. We put high expectations. But somebody who's low begins to appreciate. Maybe God wants to give you a different burden, friend, to serve Him, to be a part of this growing church, to use your life to bring glory to God, friend, that your soul may find rest in Him. Come, come to me. As I close this service, I just want to ask you 2 questions. One is for those of you who never had a knowledge of receiving Jesus, or you don't know if you ever received Jesus in your heart. This morning, the greatest invite goes out to you. That Jesus is here this morning. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, this morning the invite says, come, and I will give you salvation. For those of you who do not know. Secondly, for those of you who have known Jesus for a long time, and you find your soul tank is going down. This morning, before we leave this room, before today become history, I offer you this. Come join us in the front. We want to pray for you. We want to pray that your soul tank will be full and God will get the glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand with me, church. Hallelujah.